This is Agriculture Today.
The markets reacted overnight to a comment that President Trump made to the Financial Times that he may delay his trip to Beijing.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
Originally reported he may delay it, seeking help from China in reopening the Strait of Hormuz. That was later clarified that it would probably be more because it's hard for him to manage on a day-to-day basis the war in Iran if he's in Beijing. And so if the summit is delayed, then that means a trade agreement is delayed. I still do expect a trade agreement.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Chinese Vice Premier Yi met in Paris to advance trade discussions ahead of that expected summit. But officials indicated talks, including ag, trade balance, and supply chain issues. China signaling openness to additional purchases of U.S. farm products. No formal commitments, though, have been announced. Operationally, that delay appears, again, tied to geopolitical factors, including disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, rather than a breakdown in trade negotiations. Higher rail auction premiums and surging fuel costs raising transportation risk for grain shippers. It's tightening margins for producers tied to export-driven markets. Now, BNSF held their first auction for the crop year shuttle contracts March 11th, selling 35 shuttles for about $49 million. Winning bids range from $1.3 to $1.5 million, roughly averaging $1.4 million. That's equal to about $424 per car per trip, assuming typical utilization. BNSF plans to offer 140 shuttles again this year, another auction scheduled. Now, for producers, fuel costs remain a major concern. U.S. diesel price jumped to $4.859 per gallon. That for the week ending March 9th, it was the largest weekly increase on record, driven by higher global crude prices and tightening supplies. Farmland values holding mostly steady or edging higher nationwide last year. It underscores how closely land markets remain tied to farm finances and lending stability. Now, a report by the Farm Credit Administration Board highlights land as a key driver of borrower balance sheets and credit risk. Real estate loans account for more than 40% of the farm credit system portfolio, which means shifts in land values directly affect lenders and producers. Regulators also approved a proposed rule that updates how administrative assessments are divided among system institutions without changing the overall amount. Operationally, limited land supply, government support, and strong livestock margins support values. U.S. grain export inspections continue to show strong demand for feed grains. Corn and sorghum shipments running well ahead of last year. Soybean exports remain under pressure. Now, corn inspections for the week that ended March 12th, 1.66 million metric tons, pushing marketing year-to-date shipments to about 1.69 billion bushels. That's up 39% from 1 year ago. Sorghum exports up about 61%. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
According to the CBO, in the next 10 years, this is the most recent numbers, we'll incur $24.4 trillion of deficits over the next 10 years. That's an average of $2.4 trillion per year, and of course it grows over those 10 years.
Chairman of a Senate Finance Subcommittee from Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson.
This shows annual deficits. And the main point of this chart is when you go back to the CBO projection prior to the pandemic, CBO is projecting the next 10 years from 2037 to 2035, we'd have about a $17.4 trillion deficit versus now the estimate is $24 trillion, $7 trillion higher. Now, yes, the One Big Beautiful Bill scored at about $4 trillion. Most of that was preventing a massive automatic tax increase, which, again, I will point out, when the Democrats had the exact same opportunity to use reconciliation, they could have increased taxes, they could have increased taxes on the wealthy. They didn't. So I consider it's a bipartisan agreement. We didn't want to increase taxes. We understand how economically harmful that is. So that's that point. This shows, again, the four-year average deficits, if you have 3% growth. Notice it doesn't bend the deficit curve down. Flattens it out a little bit, doesn't bend it down. Go to the next chart. This is 4% growth. Now we're finally bending the deficit curve down. We're not even close to balance by the end of the decade. You're still $1.4 trillion. Here's my solution that I recommended, starting with the column in the Wall Street Journal January 1st of last year. Go back to a pre-pandemic level spending. I chose three different options. Bill Clinton in 1998, Barack Obama 2014, President Trump 2019. You take their actual total outlays, you exempt Social Security, Medicare, and interest. You spend what you need to spend, but all the other outlays apply reasonable control. Increase in inflation and population. If we were to do that, go back to Clinton in 98, we'd be spending $5.9 trillion this year. That's $1.5 trillion less. That's a $15 trillion savings over 10 years. If you go back to Obama 2014, if Clinton's too aggressive for you, go back to Obama. It'd be $6.6 trillion. That's $800 billion less than we're going to spend this year. That's $8 trillion over 10 years. Just go back to prior to the pandemic under Trump. $6.9 trillion, that saves us a half a trillion in 1 year, $5 trillion over 10. And that's the solution. I'm not saying you take every one, but you use those as baselines, as an evaluation for getting back to a reasonable pre-pandemic level spending. It's entirely possible. There's no justification to go from $4.4 to $7.4 trillion. So as I said earlier, I don't expect to find agreement on solutions, but let me describe what I believe our two primary initiatives should be. First, return to reasonable pre-pandemic level spending. I've given three different options. We should look seriously at doing that. And by the way, I'm working with OMB. We passed $100 million of funding for a line-by-line, program-by-program review. We've already purchased AI system. We're hiring people to do that kind of forensic analysis. That's underway. That's basically another three-year project. Second thing is we have to simplify and rationalize our tax code. It's simply too complex, costs at least $400 billion to comply with. It's also totally irrational. Instead of treating all income the same, we arbitrarily treat it differently, hoping to create different, various economic incentives. In our quest to create economic incentives, I think we probably create at least as many uneconomical, harmful disincentives. So I truly believe reducing spending and deficits combined with creating a simple and rational tax system would be the most growth-inducing solution and action we could take.
Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
There is a method behind the reciprocal tariffs and the results that we're getting in these trade negotiations.
Julie Callahan is Chief Ag Negotiator with the U.S. Trade Representative.
The reciprocal tariffs really are the impetus and the reason why a number of trading partners that I will say in the past have been pretty lukewarm about addressing the non-tariff barriers that affect U.S. exports into their market. It's really a unique opportunity to have a president that comes out and says, you know what? Access to the U.S. market should not be considered a given or a right. And a lot of our trading partners in the past have felt that they could treat American companies and American farmers as badly as they wanted, and they would still have access to our market. And our market is a very valuable, lucrative market for other countries to ship products. Now we have a president that's willing to police that market and say, if you're not treating our farmers appropriately, you're going to have consequences. And the consequence is a reciprocal rate that might make you less competitive compared to your neighbors. So suddenly we had all of these trading partners coming in, dozens at a time, literally in the early days of the negotiation, with motivation. They wanted to get a deal. They wanted to make the necessary commitments to bring the reciprocal tariff down so that then they could compete with third countries for the U.S. market. So the reciprocal tariffs have been a game changer. The results that we're seeing, a number of you probably saw the Taiwan agreement that was signed last week, duty-free access, addressing the beef and pork non-tariff barriers that we at USTR had been tackling for years and years, trying to break down these unnecessary non-tariff barriers that were preventing us from fully accessing their market. And so if you look at, you know, opportunities for dairy, the agreements on reciprocal trade also have commitments across the board to not limit market access when specialty cheese manufacturers want to export cheeses that are protected by EU geographical indications. This is also a real game changer because USTR previously had been somewhat on defense when it came to geographical indications because the Europeans were offering a lot of market access in exchange for monopolizing the cheese names. And so we were trying to tackle this one at a time. With the reciprocal tariffs and the approach of President Trump, we are tackling this across the board. Every trading partner, we want them to commit to allowing our dairy producers to have full market access. So that's just some examples, but I do want to encourage you all to take a look at the agreements as they're rolling out to see the extensive commitments on removing non-tariff barriers and also providing preferential tariff concessions for U.S. agriculture.
Luke Lindberg is Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA.
What excites me the most is that as we level the playing field, I think U.S. agriculture wins when we have a fair chance to compete. But I also think one of our hallmarks is our ability to innovate. And I think that our folks are going to create products that are going to sell in different and unique ways around the world that we've never even thought of before. And to me, that's where American agriculture shines and where we outcompete our competition around the world is exactly in that space. And that's where the excitement comes from for me for 26 and beyond.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
This could be the most misnamed, misleading name of any department in the federal government.
Doug Burgum is Secretary of the Interior.
Because inside, I should say inside, across the Department of Interior, 500 million acres of land, 700 million acres of subsurface, over 3 billion of offshore. And of course, this ranges from our territories that are U.S. citizens, where we've got military bases in places like, you know, Guam, American Samoa, Marianas Islands in the far part of the Pacific, to all the way to the U.S. Virgin Islands. But then, of course, across America in the western half of the United States, we've got many states where more than 50% of the land in those states is managed by some agency within the Department of Interior. So whether it's Bureau of Land Management, National Parks, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and on and on, this is. So we are the asset side of America's balance sheet, not the debt side. We've got hundreds of trillions of dollars of assets that we're managing. And right now, in the Trump administration, we're managing those for the benefit of the American people, as we should. These lands were put aside a lot of them going back to Theodore Roosevelt, specifically for that purpose, to be for the benefit and the use of American people, and for multiple use, whether it's grazing, timber, oil and gas, minerals and mining. That's the business we're in. And when we do that, it makes America more affordable and it makes the world more secure.
There are two types of oil. What we produce here, light sweet or WTI, and then heavy that we import.
Well, this is exciting. I literally called the America first refinery built in the U.S. in over 50 years. So latest technology, latest capability. And of course, one of the things that's happened in the last 15 years has been the explosion of the shale revolution, which has transformed the Permian, the Bakken, the Marcellus. It's taken America from being in decline on energy to being the number one oil producer, number one gas producer, number one LNG exporter, and on and on. America literally is the powerhouse of the world right now. And of course, that helps with keeping prices down at home. It helps attract capital investment to the United States because we have low energy prices and allows us to sell energy to our friends and allies so they don't have to buy from our adversaries like Russia, Iran, or others. And so President Trump's strategy is we've got to get into all the infrastructure, not just the raw production. And that means we've got to be able to refine, do that refining here. And so this is a project that really wouldn't have happened without President Trump. Essentially, we were banning LNG export facilities under President Biden. You couldn't get an approval for a refinery in this country. Now cutting red tape, whether it's across the whole of government on regulations to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect the clean air, the clean water, and the soil health of America. We do that as part of this administration just because we all care about those things. But we can do both, just like we did back in North Dakota. You can build new infrastructure and take care of the planet. We do it better than anyone. So this is exciting. This is a win for American workers. It's a win for the American consumer. It's certainly a win for everybody in Texas. $300 billion project that's going in, that's announced, President Trump announced today, and that's going to be handling tens of millions of barrels of Permian crude, turning it into lower cost gasoline, jet fuel, and diesel for American aviation, American agriculture, American trucking, and American consumers.
Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The sustained large deficits in the projections we published on February 11th are historically unusual.
Director of the Congressional Budget Office, Philip Swagel, testifying before Senate Finance Subcommittee.
Given that the unemployment rate is projected to remain below 5%, federal debt held by the public in our projections grows from 99% of GDP at the end of 2025 to 120% in 2036, and then 175% of GDP in 2056. The balance of Social Security's Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund is exhausted in 2032, and that's 1 year earlier than we projected in January of last year. The Trust Fund for Part A of Medicare is exhausted in 2040. Now, these projections do not incorporate the administration's termination of tariffs affected by the recent Supreme Court ruling. This termination results in projected deficits that are $2 trillion larger over the 2026 to 36 period than in our baseline projections last month that I just mentioned. The estimate also does not reflect the tariffs imposed on February 24 of this year under Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974. The tariffs are still changing and we are analyzing them. We will provide our projections on the new tariffs once they're more set in place. As Chairman Johnson, as you said, stronger economic growth would reduce the deficit. As one example that we've calculated, GDP growth of 2.6% per year on average over the next decade would reduce the deficit by about $1.3 trillion over the next decade. And this deficit reduction is the net of several effects. It's on revenues, interest outlays, and net interest outlays. All of those would change with stronger growth. Revenues would be higher, about $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years, but net outlays for interest would also be higher, about $1 trillion over the next 10 years, and that's because when the economy is stronger, interest rates tend to be higher. Non-interest spending would also be about $100 billion higher. With this stronger growth, in 2036, the deficit would be 5.5% of GDP instead of 6.7% of GDP. Debt at the end of the window would equal 109%. Instead of 120% of GDP. So this illustrates that stronger growth helps with the fiscal imbalance, but is not enough by itself. And spending, of course, could be less than we project, or interest rates could be lower than our projections. That could come about if economic growth is slower than we projected, or if labor force growth is slower than we projected, because slower labor force growth, less immigration, slower growth would bring about lower interest rates. And of course, the challenge is that those lower interest rates and a lower debt service would come about as the economy is weaker and there'd be lower revenues. A challenge is that a key aspect of the growth of federal spending in the long term is higher spending on programs that support older people, including Social Security and Medicare. And the rising number of beneficiaries in those programs is a major contributor to spending growth. And given the aging of the population, our projections of the number of Social Security and Medicare beneficiaries are among the most certain of our projections. In sum, our projections continue to indicate that the trajectory for budget deficits is not sustainable. Now, our projections are inherently uncertain, but I can tell you with high confidence that policy action is needed to reduce the budget deficit.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Today I'd like to visit with our dairy producers concerning the most essential nutrient that you have on your dairy farm, actually for your total dairy operation, and that's called water.
Dr. Mike Brook is a Kansas State dairy specialist talking about water in a dairy.
As we look across our dairy industry, whether we look here in Kansas, we look to the south, we look to the north, water issues are becoming more and more of a concern for our industry as we look into the future. Yes, we've always had some concerns here in Kansas, and we have great water regulations that regulate the amount that we pump every year. But we're going to have to look beyond where we're at today to where we need to be in the years to come so that we can continue dairy operations and expand operations that we currently have. So what are some things that we need to be thinking about as dairy farmers? Well, number one, we need to think about where does most of the water go that is actually used in dairy production. It's actually used to irrigate crops. See, over 90% of the total water that we use in a dairy operation is actually utilized to grow the crops to feed the cows. So as we look at ways to reduce water usage and conserve water, we really do need to look deep into what we're expending in terms of irrigation water to grow crops. So some things that you might want to think about. We do have certain crops that would utilize less water. When you think about some of the small grains that we could raise over the winter months, or you think about things like sorghum, they do require less water than corn silage. Now, how would you utilize this in your diet? And you really need to work with your nutritionist on this. You probably don't want to come in with a diet that, for lactating cows, that contains all sorghum silage. Our research would show that that really is not a very positive thing when it comes to looking at milk production. However, can you utilize some sorghum silage in your diets of your lactating cows, and can you utilize more in the diets of dry cows and heifers that you might be raising? This will reduce the demand for corn silage and reduce the water demand that we have to raise corn silage. That will, in total, reduce our total dependence on water to raise crops for this dairy herd. So as you think about your planting decisions, and no, you don't want to convert everything in the first year, but you might want to be taking a look at how you could utilize some of these other crops. Small grains raised over the winter, or possibly sorghum raised during the summer in your dairy operation. Again, you need to work with your nutritionist to determine where these crops would fit best and at what levels, and that'll help you determine how much you actually need to grow and feed. Is it going to increase the complication to your feeding program? Of course, as you're going to be dealing with some additional feeds and you're going to have to work out the amount that you'd be feeding every day and try to figure out how we were going to remove the correct amounts from silos, and that might require that we construct some different forage storage structures, or we might need to use some silage bags for some of those crops that we're not going to be using in as high a rate as corn silage. However, these are all discussions that need to be had.
Talking about the importance of water, dairy specialist Mike Brook. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.